Welcome to Beating Cancer Daily. Beating stage 4 cancer for 30 years still takes my breath away every time I say it. I'm Saren, founder of the Comedy Cures Foundation, and I hope you'll join me for just a few minutes daily for the next 365 days so we may laugh, learn, maybe cry a little as we live our best days beating cancer daily together.
What do you think about zinc? I actually know nothing about it. I really don't. And that's why I invited one of my favorite functional medicine people in the world. You know her if you've ever listened to any of the 365 episodes of Beating Cancer Daily. I am inviting Jackie Bryan, my certified nutrition specialist, whole health educator, certified health coach, and just incredible human being and friend, back to Beating Cancer Daily today to talk to us about why we should care about zinc. Welcome, Jackie.
Oh, Saren, it's so great to be here. Thanks for having me. I was excited to talk about zinc today.
I love that think and zinc rhyme. You know me, oh. I hear funny. And so that sounds funny to me.
Let's think about zinc. I agree. There's a nice rhyme there, but it's funny. I was thinking before this podcast, like how many things we actually do in our life and we have no idea what it is. Like we're putting zinc in our body, but we don't necessarily know what it's made of or specifically what it does. I mean, some of us take zinc for a cold, right?
I was going to say that there was a time where people went on the zinc craze and people were popping zinc, zinc, zinc and zinc lozenges. And even in COVID, people were saying, take zinc, take zinc.
Well, I think one of the COVID studies even said that those people that had higher levels of zinc in their body were less likely to fare, you know, poorly if they were diagnosed with COVID. It's super important to me that I convey to you that supplementation is not necessarily what I'm focused on today with the podcast. And that's merely because it's difficult to regulate and zinc is something that can actually kind of stay in your body and it could be dangerous. So I want to talk about it and all the benefits for our body and largely because it's very abundant in our body. In fact, our zinc is the second most abundant trace mineral in the body, second to iron. Iron's number one, and then zinc is second. And it's a trace mineral, meaning we don't need a ton of it, but it is a small amount that is considered essential because it's required for so many of our body's vital functions.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What do we need this for?
Well, I'm so glad you asked.
And that wasn't premeditated. Like, I'm just so curious, Jackie.
Well, I want you to imagine just this tiny little helper that plays a big part in keeping your body working well. Right. It's just a really important part of our overall health. And it's pretty much present in every body tissue. Right. So if that doesn't make it sound important, I don't know what would. Right. But it is super important. You know, it's a very powerful antioxidant. It is a metal, though. Right. It's a type of metal that's essential because you really have to get it from your diet. When we say essential fats or when we say an essential metal, we say it's essential because you have to get it from outside the body. Right. It's your body isn't producing it. You actually have to consume it in your diet because your body can't make it on its own.
So it's not if you apply it to your skin, this is something that you have to ingest somehow. But do we have to take a supplement or is it in food? How do we get this?
Well, you know, I'm a food first gal and topical application like in sunblock or, you know, oftentimes it helps with wound healing. So you'll see people that have had burns, sunburns, or even, you know, a burn from a fire or something like that. They use zinc on the skin to help it heal because it does have that type of healing modality to it, right? It's a really helpful metal when it comes to healing the tissue. There is some absorption that would happen topically, but I'm talking more about ingesting it in food rather than in supplementation. You can supplement, but there are some side effects to that, that you know, things like upset stomach. You know, I have supplemented when I've had a cold, you know, and there are some studies that show that it does shorten the length of a cold. And that's because zinc is a powerful antioxidant and it can support your immune system.
I see. But it's also in food. So if we ate the food when we had a cold, we could still get the benefits.
Oh, absolutely. That's my preference, right? So when you consume food that has some of these amazing nutrients in it, zinc being one of them, that trace mineral, then you're going to get probably the best benefits of it than you would in a supplement. When we take a supplement, it's, you know, they take the nutrient out. And in this case, they would take the zinc out of whatever it was naturally occurring in, and they isolate it. And then they say, oh, take it in a pill form. And sometimes when we take supplementation, our body doesn't always recognize it as real food. And it's sort of like, oh, what am I supposed to do with this, right? And that's why it's so important to know the sources of your supplementation. Are they bioavailable? I mean, that's another podcast for us. But I think it's important to think about, right? When we're talking about, you know, consuming zinc, what types of foods would you potentially find them in? And there is a list. I mean, we have a list of several foods that have them. Actually, you know what? I want to save the list for a second because I want to talk about why it's important. Like, what are some of the health benefits? Why is this something we're even putting a podcast together about? Is that okay with you?
Such a sneaky tease. now we all have to listen till the end to get your list. Oh my gosh, that was so sneaky.
I don't want to give it all away. Well, you know why? Here, this is what I like to do. And in my private practice, I do this all the time. I need to create a compelling why, right? I need you to be able to see that there's some really solid reasons behind why we want to pay attention to zinc, right? And probably the first and foremost is that it supports immune function. I'm a 21-year survivor. This June 20th was the day that I was diagnosed 21 years ago. And immune system function is incredibly important to me. I mean, zinc is essential when it comes to supporting our immune system. It fights off invading, you know, the immune system fights off invading bacteria and viruses. It's really our defense against disease-causing microorganisms. And it just plays a critical role in that function. It can even help with maintaining the integrity of our skin, which is really that first line of defense, right? We have a couple different types of immune function and that barrier protection our skin offers us, that's our first line of defense. And that's one of the reasons we really need to pay attention to zinc, because it can help our skin function and it helps keep us safe, right? I mean, if we didn't have zinc, our immune response would be weakened and it could be something that leaves us vulnerable to diseases like colds, flu, COVID, but also taking it even, you know, to a more concerning place of cancer and other types of diseases.
But how do we know? Like, how would I know if I'm low in zinc?
Oh, that's a great question. There are certain signs of zinc deficiency. And again, if you have any of these signs, it's important to not say, oh, I'm going to start popping some zinc, right? It's important for us to go get checked, right? But it can lead, a zinc deficiency can lead to a number of health issues. And so there are certain cues or clues that you could look at to determine if maybe you're at risk and you should go get checked. One is you're getting sick frequently. You're always getting a cold, right? That could be something that could be problematic. Now, I will say there are certain lifestyle behaviors that could be leading you down a path to deficiency. And that could be a poor diet, chronic alcohol consumption, you know, inefficient absorption of foods in your intestinal tract, right? There's so many different things that can lead you down that path.
What about smoking? I don't know why it just came to me that smoking could rob you of zinc. Is that possible?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, when we think about, and I don't have all the science on smoking specifically, but smoking is inflammatory to the body. And if you piss off the body enough, you know, something's got to give, right? Oftentimes we have to rob from one part of our body. We take minerals and nutrients from one part of our body to support another part. And then that leaves us vulnerable. People that have chronic fatigue, you know, if they've got chronic fatigue syndrome, or even if they haven't been diagnosed with chronic fatigue, looking at zinc levels would probably probably make sense if they have digestive issues. There are cases where people have chronic diarrhea and it's been linked to zinc deficiency, even if someone's experiencing poor concentration or growth. Stunted growth is also another one. A big one also is somebody's not able to heal. They're not, their wounds are not healing. And so those are not things that we self-diagnose. We see these as signs and symptoms. And then we say, oh, geez, I need to go get checked, right? I need to sit back and think about, okay, what's going on with my body? And oftentimes when we have symptoms, it's not just one thing causing them. It could be that the zinc is a player in a combination of other issues, right? So we want to explore those. That's what, you know, I kind of do, is just look at connecting the dots, right? What is it that's causing some of these issues in the body?
If I wanted to have a zinc blood test to know where my zinc level was, could I?
Yes, they can do full panels of all of these things on you, not just zinc, but many other minerals. They can look at your vitamin levels. They can look at, I mean, again, there's so many other players in this, but most certainly they can look at all these different levels. But I think when we look at zinc deficiency, the biggest concern is, you know, what's happening to our immune system. Growth and development is really important. You know, zinc really ensures that everything grows and develops correctly, right? And I know, you know, I'm getting close to 60. I feel like sometimes my growth is stunted. But it is super important for our cells. It plays a role in our cell division, our growth, and repair. So regardless of our age or stage in life, we need to think about zinc because it's important for all aspects of our life. And when we, you know, especially in children, if there's a lack of zinc, then they're going to see some stunted growth and even developmental delays. So again, it's important, not just in that aspect, but also when it comes to reproductive health. Zinc is really important when it comes to hormone balance and the production of many of our sex hormones, right? So again, super important.
It's interesting because I can't wait to hear how I can eat my way to a proper zinc amount. Because I thought it was interesting. You said that if you have too much zinc, that could cause diarrhea. And if you don't have mm-hmm. enough zinc, that could cause diarrhea. So right. I'm really interested to see how I can naturally get it in my system, because now I realize how important it is. It wasn't even on my radar, Jackie.
Right. Well, and I think the biggest takeaway message from today is really, if we're going to get it in food, then it's probably a safer way to get it, because the supplementation can be, you know, people overdo that. And so we definitely don't want to overdo it. We want to think about what are some of the benefits that we can get. And we just talked about immune system function, and we talked about, you know, keeping our bodies strong and preventing disease and virus. But when it comes to the balancing of hormones, like I was just chatting with you about, that's a whole nother player, because hormone balance affects every aspect of our body, right? So I was just talking about the sex hormones and helping with our reproductive health. But what's really interesting is our insulin is produced by the pancreas, and insulin is a hormone, and it is the one that regulates our blood sugar balance. So a zinc deficiency could potentially impact a person's ability to balance their blood sugar, which could also take us down this diabetes path.
Is that in both directions, Jackie, low blood sugar, high blood sugar, or only causing more of a diabetes environment?
Well, since it has an impact on insulin specifically, it could be both, right? Hmm. And so that's why it's important to find some regulation with that, not just go right to a supplement, but find a way to regulate that. The other thing, and again, this is why I get so interested in this mineral, is because if it's going to potentially affect our hormone balance and could potentially cause, or, you know, leave us vulnerable to diabetes, then it's most certainly going to be something that could affect our heart. Right. So if you're kind of staying with me through this whole podcast, you're starting to see, oh, she talked about the skin. She talked about the immune system. She's talking about hormones, diabetes, heart health. So yes, zinc is going to affect every part of our body, and it affects the heart because inflammation and oxidative stress can be reduced with zinc in our diet because it's an antioxidant, it's an anti-inflammatory. It's really cool. And when you think about the fact that it is a trace element, it's essential, right? Because again, we have to get it in our diet, but it's trace, meaning it's a very, very small amount. And that's why we want to be very careful about the ways that we get it. And I think this is a perfect segue to start talking about some of the foods. What do you think?
I am so excited, but let me tell you something. Zinc has bad marketing because it's so critical, but nobody talks about it. Iron,
well, they
everyone
do with colds.
Talks about.
Yes.
I know, yeah. But it's just like, whoa, I'm how many decades old? And this is the first time that I'm super focusing on it. I think it needs a new marketing company.
But, did you want me to answer the question on how many decades old you are?
I'm proud.
I do love how many decades old you are. And I'm so thankful that I get to know you in this decade for sure.
But consider the alternative. I'm really happy. I know. I'm just decades old. But you know what I did realize? I'm 10 years ahead of you in this cancer journey. I didn't realize that I had 10 years survivorship. Like, that's a long time. I didn't realize we were 10 years apart in our diagnosis. Well, not diagnosis, since I had it, not properly diagnosed. But wow, that's amazing, Jackie.
I know. Well, you're my role model.
But over 50 years. 50 years between the two of us of survivorship.
Yeah. And I think that I know our podcast isn't about survivorship today, but no one told me how difficult it was going to be. Like, as I was going through the treatment and after treatment and trying to redefine my new normal and finding my way. And really my practice started as a result of trying to save myself. I mean, I kept thinking there's got to be more. As you know, I'm a Western medicine practitioner, a trained ICU nurse. But gosh, I kept thinking there's got to be more to it than just this kind of Western medicine approach. And certainly, most certainly, Western medicine saved my life. I mean, I am eternally grateful for that.
Yeah, me too.
But learning about the things that I can do that I have control over. I mean, these podcasts are so much fun, Saren, because this is such a gift to somebody going through cancer treatment, because you just feel victimized, right? It's like they're just giving you treatment and you're kind of constantly at the mercy of going to all these appointments. And then all of a sudden, you've got this little light here at the end of the tunnel of some things that you can do. And it could be nutrition. It could be exercise. It could be stress management.
It could be laughing.
Oh my gosh, it's so laughing. I could have so used you 21 years ago for laughter.
But I think that's why we do this, because we wish that we had had it, because a daily podcast is insane. Tell you the truth. It's insane.
I'm only on once a week. I don't even know how you do this.
I know. I call my husband a podcast widow because I am always doing the podcast, but I'm just so happy that you come on, and I can't wait to give myself and also you listening these tips. Jackie, you've held us in suspense long enough. What can we eat?
All right. Here we go. Well, first, before I start listing these foods, I want you to think about the fact that the bioavailability, that means how your body's able to access the zinc out of the food that you eat, really depends on how well it's absorbed in your body. So some considerations for us to think about is, one, the type of food, right? Because that bioavailability will depend on the type of food. The other consideration is the shape your gut is in. You and I have talked a lot about gut health, but if someone is dealing with chronic gut issues, diarrhea, constipation, malabsorption issues, all of those will have an impact. So I think that's really important just to kind of think about. And when it comes to zinc, zinc concentration is generally higher in animal-based foods than plant-based foods. So people that are vegetarian, this might be a little bit more challenging for them to get in. And so that's where it's super important for them to talk to their healthcare provider to find the best way that they're going to get this really important mineral in. But I always say aim for a balanced diet to really ensure that you're getting the nutrients, all the nutrients that you need, not just the zinc. If we just focus on the zinc, we're going to miss all the wonderful pearls of nutrients that we need in so many other things. So here's some of the foods that I enjoy that have a nice amount of zinc in them. I will say I don't enjoy this first one here, but my husband loves them. Oysters.
Wait a minute. I'm doing a drum roll. Drum roll.
Oysters.
Okay.
Oysters are also known as an aphrodisiac, but I just can't get past the way they look. So it's not my favorite thing. My husband loves them, but just 6 medium oysters can give you 32 milligrams of zinc. And just to kind of make sense of this, women that are aged 19 and up need about 18 milligrams per a day. And men age 14 and up need about 11. So about 11 milligrams per day for men, 8 milligrams per day for women. And if you just eat 6 oysters, you're going to get 32 milligrams of zinc in just that. And that's actually more than the recommended daily allowance. Now, if we go to the next one in line, if we go for a grass-fed beef, say maybe 3 ounces of some sort of a grass-fed organic beef, that's the only way I consume mine, and that will give you about 7 milligrams of zinc. So that would be one shy for myself and for you, Saren, of the recommended daily allowance. Lamb is one that has, if you've got about 4 ounces, then you're going to have about 3.6 milligrams of zinc. Pumpkin seeds, these are my favorite. I talk a lot about pumpkin seeds. A 1 ounce serving of pumpkin seeds gives you about 2.2 milligrams of zinc. And pumpkin seeds are one of my favorite too, because they are rich in magnesium and they're like just a strong player when it comes to magnesium, and they're excellent for balancing blood sugar, helping with sleep, a whole host of things. And I almost wanted to talk about hemp seeds, right? So I almost wanted to do that as the podcast, because I think they're a seed that people are very curious about. But seeds, hemp seeds are a really good source of plant-based zinc. And again, this for our vegetarians and vegans. And 1 ounce has about 3 milligrams of zinc in them.
I'm obsessed with hemp. We could do an episode on hemp. I'm obsessed. I put it on everything.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put that and make a note of that, because I actually, that was almost what we were going to talk about today. Also lentils. Lentils are another good source of vegetarian zinc, right? And so getting 1 cup of cooked lentils contains 2.5 milligrams of zinc. So if you're doing the math in your head and you have a cup of cooked lentils, you have maybe 2 tablespoons of hemp seeds, that's going to give you about close to 5. And then we just need to find 3 more, right? And so if we have 2 ounces of pumpkin seeds, we've hit our goal for the day. So it's not too difficult. But here's the problem. The problem is, if somebody has a highly processed and chemicalized diet, that's a little plug for our podcast on ultra processed foods, Saren. But if someone does have a highly processed diet, they potentially could be leaching their body of some of these vital nutrients. And so it might not be a matter of bringing in more zinc. It might be a matter of just stopping the leaching, right? Slowing down the foods that are hurting you, the foods that are anti-nutrients, the foods that are not serving your body well.
So Jackie, can you state one more time the requirements that you are telling us for male, female, and do you have it for children also, or just for adults?
Yes, no, I do. I have it for all. So for women age 19 and up, it's about 8 milligrams per day. And for men age 14 and up, it's 11 milligrams per day. Boys are also 11 milligrams per day. Girls ages 14 to 18 are 9 milligrams per day. And then children, boys and girls, ages 9 to 13 should have about 8 milligrams per day.
Yeah, I think it's so important, because now that we're so aware, I think we're going to want to make sure that our kids are getting it too.
Absolutely. I mean, I think when we look at those ranges, it's really 8 to 11 milligrams per day, right? And if we have an understanding that, oh, I'm going to have an ounce of pumpkin seeds, I'll get 2.2 milligrams here. Or maybe I'll go eat some oysters. You know, if I have 6 oysters, I'm going to get 32 milligrams of zinc, right? I can get enough zinc for the whole family in one serving of those, right? So there's a lot of things that we can do to be able to bring those in. Even just having eggs in the morning, if you have 2 whole eggs, they contain 1.3 milligrams of zinc.
So I'm not an oyster fan, but I love sardines. Can I get up from sardines?
You sure can. So one can of sardines, which is close to 4 ounces, will give you about 1.2 milligrams of zinc. So you'll get a good source from there. You can also get it if you know, we're talking a lot about, you know, meat and fish, right? But you can also get it from mushrooms, right? So shiitake mushrooms, if you have 3.5 ounces of shiitake mushrooms, you can get 1 milligram of zinc in there. So you can see that zinc can be found in so many different sources. And that's why it's really important for us to eat a diet that's filled with variety, right? We want to have a variety of different sources of zinc if possible. And so when we hear all these different sources, it kind of makes sense that, you know, we might not need to supplement. We might just need to really pay attention to where we're getting it in our diet.
I wonder if this is an app where you can say
the
that
zinc
your
app.
Goal.
That's our next adventure together. We're going to come up with the zinc app.
No, I just mean that, like, if you want to focus on getting your zinc levels, you know, appropriate, that you could put that in an app and then it could suggest, like you're doing, but, you know, different things. Or you could say, hey, if I eat this prune, am I going to get any zinc? You know, just to make
right.
it so much more user friendly. Because Jackie, we all can't talk to you every minute of every day when we're about to eat. But if you love Jackie, you can also go to her website, JackieBryan.com, and see she has so much great information there. You can get on her newsletter, blog. You can join one of her challenges. You can even hire her privately, or you can come to our free Health Builder workshops. We have one coming up. Usually they're about once a month. And she picks a topic and you can come on Zoom live with us. And at the end of her amazing visual presentation, you can even ask live questions. It's so much fun. So Jackie, what else do you want to tell us about zinc?
Well, I think I love that. First of all, thank you for the nice comments. I really appreciate it. I think there's different ways that we can get zinc in our diet and just trying to be creative. I love your comment about coming up with an app, but there are different ways that people can learn about if they're getting enough nutrients, not just about zinc. And so there are certain apps for the phone that you can use. They're food tracking apps that can assess the level of nutrients that you're getting in your diet. But then, like, even if I'm working with somebody, I do a thing, I have a little session. It's called a nutrient check-in. And what we do is we go through all the food sources for each of the main nutrients, vitamins and minerals. I do both. And then we just assess where the holes might be. Where might there be some gaps, right? Are they getting enough zinc? Are they getting enough iron? Are they missing some of the essential fats? Like, looking at all of those. One of the really most helpful things for people is just to identify where the holes are. We can't be perfect all the time. But there are different resources out there that people can use. There's, I think MyFitnessPal has a app that you can plug in to see what your nutrients are. There is some really helpful information that you can find out on NIH, the National Institute of Health. It's NIH.gov and it's fact sheets. And if you just type in NIH fact sheets and you put the nutrient you want to learn about, so you could do NIH fact sheet zinc and just put it in the Google search and it'll pop up the page. And that's the main page that registered dietitians use, that I use in my practice all the time. And these are the ones that kind of are the guiding light for us in many ways to have a good understanding of what the recommended amounts are for individuals.
That's so helpful. I really love doing that because, you know, I go down a rabbit hole and I just start researching everything and I just really Love those fact sheets. So thanks for sharing that. So, Jackie, I found a joke and I understand parts of it, but I'm not sure I understand the whole thing. So I'm going to say the joke and then I'm going to let you interpret the joke just in case there are other people listening who just don't understand 100% what this means. Okay. There was an election amongst the elements of the periodic table, and iron voted for zinc because zinc was able to galvanize iron.
Okay. But it's so obviously the periodic table is going back to our chemistry days, right? Our chemistry days when we
even with my
about
chemo brain, I remembered that. I did remember the periodic table.
And it said that zinc, the study said that zinc galvanizes iron. And so zinc can actually induce iron uptake and transport in intestinal cells. So there is a relationship between both zinc and iron. So I think that was the play on the words that they used in the joke. So that is very funny. That's very
that
cute.
Was very smart humor. That was like that might
that's
have
very
gone.
Smart. You're gonna have to give me a little more prep time for those ones.
I feel like we all went back to chemistry class on that one.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
There's really no in between. There was this really heady joke, and then there's a thousand plays on I think so.
Yeah. I think if we were to just sort of surmise what we talked about, it was really that, you know, if people are experiencing symptoms that, you know, could be indicating a zinc deficiency, things like change in appetite, chronic fatigue, weight gain, hair loss, poor concentration, change in bowel movements, they're not healing, or they're getting sick frequently, then it's not a bad idea to get your zinc level checked. And the best way to meet our needs of zinc are really by getting it in our diet, you know, the red meat, other animal meats, our oysters, fish, cashews, pumpkin seeds, even some yogurt. You know, the zinc supplementation is an option, but I really think it's important for us to be assessed prior to taking a zinc supplementation. I mean, they do exist for people that are experiencing a cold, you know, which is a very short-term thing, and I think that's fine. But I do think it is important to see a healthcare provider before using any zinc supplements, because I think any supplementation can open us up to other issues that we definitely don't want to deal with.
I'm so curious to see if it's in my multivitamin. I really am. I just want to see how much I'm getting in the multi. But I really appreciate this. This really was something that I wanted to learn about. And you really gave us a comprehensive understanding and I think a practical application to how we can all do this. I love you, girl.
Oh, you're the best, Sarah. This was so much fun. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I really wanted to also share with you the listenership that we have, because I think this is so exciting, but I don't want to read 71 countries that would take like
oh
a
my
whole
gosh.
Episode, but I thought maybe I would shout out each episode, just a few of the countries. And if you're listening in that country, please go to comedycures.org and say hi, because I'm so excited to know that we are around the world. So if you're in Argentina, Armenia, Australia, or Austria, please go to comedycures.org and let us know. And if you're from any other country, you can, but I'm just going to shout out a few of the countries each time. Isn't that fun, Jackie?
I love that. That's so much fun. I think maybe we should make a road trip. I think a little Austria, or, you know, you and I could certainly fly there.
Australia,
and thank them.
Argentina, Armenia.
Thank them in person, you know.
Everyone keeps saying that to me. Are you going to go to every country that's listening? And now that I know that this is happening worldwide, I know that I am going to be in Argentina. So when I do that, I am going to shout that out next year and let people know that I will be in that country. But as I travel now, I'm definitely going to do it. And if everybody involved in this podcast behind the scenes, and also Missy too, if You guys want to do a girls' road trip? I would totally do Around the World. No problem. We'd make our remake of Around the World in 80 days. We could definitely do
it. I'm in.
Yay. Well, this has just been so much fun. I hope you have a blessed day, and I'll see you tomorrow. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then I'd love to ask for you to go to comedycures.org and check out our membership circle levels. You will find even more resources and more programming, like our live virtual Q&A sessions with me, our live Comedy Cures events with our very talented comedians, live Health Builder workshops with Jackie Bryan, hosted by me, a robust monthly newsletter, plus much more. It's really an exciting community. So please consider becoming a member, giving it as a gift, telling your friends, telling your hospital support group all about this community. I can't think of a more empowering way to go through a cancer journey or your survivorship or your caregiving experience than with us at Beating Cancer Daily. It's truly an honor to serve you. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow. Guess what time it is? It's time for me to read the disclaimer. Beating Cancer Daily and the membership circle are not in lieu of medical advice or treatment. They are for entertainment purposes only. Please consult your healthcare team to review your best strategy. Thanks for listening.